I showed Richard the Hare Krishna people movie that Yadavara made, and Jamuna Mataji made some prasadam for him to taste. So he's got in some introduction of it.
Okay. You came here not too many years ago. Did you ever expect that it would grow into what it has over the years?
We came in 1965.
Mm-hmm. 11 years ago. And in a relatively short period of time, you've managed to gather around you a great number of people. Has it surprised you? Or,
I did not expect. When I came, right, I did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have got so many speeches. So I did not expect that. People will accept my proposal.
Your proposal?
Yeah. Our proposal is no simple value. No illicit sex, no drinking, no gambling, no drugs. I did not expect that anyone will accept this proposal.
It is, are those three sort of proscriptions are they prerequisites to accepting your knowledge?
Yes, he did understand that I'm not this body, there is a living force in this body. It's very difficult to understand. This body is not perfect. The real body means the living force within the body. Isn't that? You are talking. What is the difference? You are not talking. Now, if the body is dead, he cannot talk. I mean, finish. So, what is that force within you that is causing you to talk? Do you know anything about that?
Have I thought about it, me personally?
No. Have you ever thought about it?
Yes.
So what is that?
What did I think about that?
Yeah.
I've always viewed myself as myself.
Myself, that's what you are not this body. You are not, the body is not yourself. Did you ever think of it?
Well, when I say myself, I should perhaps define it. Myself being all that I can recall being before, as well as my present.
How do you distinguish between a dead man and a living man?
Well,
the living man is important. But the dead man is not important.
Not his physical body, no.
Yes. Then within the physical body, there is something which is making him living man.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not? What is a dead man? Something is missing, therefore he's dead. Although the body is there.
Right, okay. His ability to...
Yeah, body is here. The chair, hands, legs, mouth, eyes, ears, hair, everything is there. But now they're crying. Oh, Mr. Captain said, what is it?
Well, his ability to share.
What is his ability to carry my question? Why this important man is now useless? Although the same hands, legs, mouth, everything's there. But it is useless.
Well, he's no longer.
So what was the important thing?
The important thing was his ability to share physically and intellectually.
Yes. What that means that important thing was within the body. Now it is missing. That is the distinction between dead man and spirit.
That, as far as I'm concerned, that's a good one.
That is very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
This man's body is going to work on account of presence of the dead body. That's what he uses.
Right.
So, we are thinking about that important.
Isn't that the object of all philosophies, both personal
and that is the real pleasure. We must take care of the living force within the world.
Right. And aren't there many ways that you can do that? Aren't there many approaches?
Let us understand the importance of that living force.
Mm-hmm.
Then we shall find out means how to keep it rich. People are not aware of this living force. They accept this dead body as important. That is material situation. They are taking care of the body, but not the living force which is making this body important.
And you think that's a problem?
That is wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Education means to understand that. Mm-hmm. What is the important thing in this body? Otherwise, gas and dogs, they are also working. The body is also tough, right? The dog is jumping, barking, he's thinking as well of this body.
Okay, as far as nurturing the body through knowledge is the goal of what you teach to eliminate obstacles in that is
everything is aimed at to eliminate obstacles. Now, so far the body is concerned, there are so many obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is struggling, they struggle by existence to get out of the obstacles. Whole struggle by existence is to save ourselves from the obstacles.
Right. How do you determine what's an obstacle?
Obstacles, the ultimate obstacle is that you don't like to die, but you can die any moment. This is the greatest obstacle for them to think of it. You are sitting here, you are a young man, but you may die to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest obstacle.
Yes.
You have got so many plans to do in your life, but you can die any moment. This is not obstacle.
The presence of death,
yes.
The possibility of death.
Yes.
To me, I don't think really it is, for me.
Right. You don't like to die?
Hey. I don't think that doesn't bother me.
It bothers. We have got some plan. We have to do, everyone has got some plan, ideas, and some improvement. But what is the guarantee that he will be able to execute that plan?
Sure.
Because he can die at any moment.
Right, there is not.
So is he not unstable?
No.
He's not unstable. You're planning something that I shall do this. He may not be very important man, but there are many important leaders of the society planning that I shall make my nation like this way, my family like this, everyone is planning. But where is the guarantee that he will be able to fulfill the plan? That may take place any moment. Is not as true?
I don't view it as an obstacle. I really don't view it as an obstacle. The fact that my plans may be altered.
But that experience that people do not want to die, he fulfills some his brainwash plan. I have seen one of my friends was dying, he was at that time 54 years old only. And he was begging the doctor, my doctor, medical dialysis. Cannot give me 4 years time, I can complete my plan. You have very good business plan. So you are planning something to do, but doctor says that you cannot survive. So you are very mean. Last year with the doctor, cannot give me at least 4 years time. And the doctor can give me that. If you are feeling this is our step, when I'm going to die, without fulfilling my plan, I think that's psychology anyway.
But generally, how many
are we afraid of? But
generally, how can you determine the obstacle?
I've seen it. When you ask, maybe the doctor, please give me 4 years life. Give me some medicine so that I can. At least for 4 years. I finished my prayer. I said it. You are the first man that you are not afraid of death. I see everyone is afraid of death. Okay? As soon as there is immediately silent, I'm saying also.
Are you afraid of death?
Huh?
Are you afraid of death?
My position is different. Because I know I'm not going to die. My position is different. Now we are confident, we are not going to die. Death is no potent person.
Okay.
Therefore we are not afraid of death. We are not afraid. But generally people, they actually, are you not afraid of disease?
I would not wish to be in great pain or agony, no.
And there is prayer. That's when you're in disease. There's prayer.
But there are quick deaths and there are slow deaths.
Everyone is afraid of this. Are you not afraid of old age and invalidity?
Not particularly. I mean, it's a part of life.
I'm liberated. Actually, everyone, that is the problem of life. Why there are so many medical colleges, drug shops, and medicine, just to avoid disease. Otherwise, there is no need of anything. Everyone is afraid of disease, not to suffer from disease. That's a fact. If you say that you are not afraid of disease, that is something new. But unless we are afraid of disease, why there is this memorial hospital, this drug store, this pharmacy? Why is this very good? You don't want it.
Do you have a doctor, though, you said, right?
No, I have not a doctor.
You have no doctor?
But my thing is that these are the problems. But they told it and this is our point.
That these are the basic problems of most men. Death, the fears of death and disease.
Everyone.
You too?
Not everyone. I am the one also.
Okay.
I am also, I have taken up my cancers and what not work out. I'm trying to leave at least after the time I finish my dances. I do not wish to die before I finish. That is also everyone is like.
Well, what happens if you do die before you finish?
Well, you are talking something extraordinary. Everyone has got some ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do it. Death, disease, old age, these are impediments.
Mm-hmm.
That is the point. No one wants to die premature death.
What if a family man
wants to see that his sons are properly educated or they are well placed, so anything. And if all of a sudden death comes, he becomes angry. Then production is not business. Therefore, death is impediment.
You were widely respected in India before you came to the United States.
I've been there for some time, but it's kind of discussed.
Well, no. I am getting to it. If you had died before you come to the United States, would that have been a tragedy?
Yes. That would have been a big tragedy. That is premature. That's the example Prabhupada is giving, that the man wants to educate his sons, but he dies before they can be educated, then to him, that is a premature death. That, so therefore, he does not want that. In fact, he's afraid. Please, I don't want to die before I see my sons educated. So that is a fear of death.
That for death is an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bar.
An obstacle to the goals of his life.
One who has no responsibility, that is another thing. But a responsible man wants to face the responsibility. And if death comes before that, that's an obstacle.
How about smaller obstacles in life other than death?
I mean, this is a major obstacle. As have only left to these obstacles, there are hundreds and millions of obstacles.
There are millions of obstacles.
Yeah. This is the main obstacle.
Right, okay. But, I mean, okay, you say most people are, almost everyone, except me perhaps, is concerned about death. But how about the smaller obstacles, which nevertheless can make people very depressed today, neurotic. How do you recognize and live with them or eliminate?
Our point is, there are hundreds and millions of obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I would say, summarized, maybe done birth, death, or present. This is my point. There are hundreds and thousands of obstacles. But if you take all of that and make a summary, then it comes four. Birth, death, or religion.
He wants to know, Srila Prabhupada, if these are the obstacles, how do we, Krishna conscious people, deal with these obstacles or eliminate these obstacles?
Yes. That we are doing by Krishna conscious people.
How?
Because if we try to understand Krishna, simply by understanding, hey, I am going to get a life which will be free of all us.
And how do you do that?
That you see what I mean.
By living this type of life.
Yeah.
But what about the people who don't live here at the ashram? People who live if you want to call it the outside world.
They are not getting the opportunity. They are giving the opportunity to come here and live here.
This is the only way?
Yeah.
Living in an ashram.
Not living here to take the philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or the policy or process. Then your life is successful.
It's like our household that they have their apartments. We're always associated with Krishna.
Right.
That's why we're asking so many folks to give them a life and life. This is the process.
Mm-hmm.
This is an educational combat. How to overcome these obstacles. That is the challenge.
Do you think there are any other ways which are equally effective? Isn't the spiritual benefit that people in the ashram hear?
He must know what is spirit. They do not know what is spirit.
Well, okay. There are many contented people in the world. There are many people who are at peace with God.
That is bad, but he has no problem. The best contented living day is an ass. He has no problem. But that is not civilization.
That is not what?
That is not civilization. A life.
Okay. But being able to live with your limitations and be therefore content, within those limitations.
I just said that animal lives very content within his limitation. It doesn't like to improve. But that is not human life.
Well, okay. I know many people who are relatively contented and still growing.
What is the contentment? If you have got the problems and solve them, so that is ass's contentment. Ass does not know how to check death. He doesn't think of it. But a human being, intelligent, whether the disease can be checked, whether this death can be checked, that is human being. The ass cannot see.
Right.
So if he remains contented like an ass, that is animal life.
Right. But what still people carry on. People
let them carry on. Asses also carry on. That is another thing. But distinction between ass's life and human life. The ass cannot estimate the equipment or the hospital supply. A human being can see, and it is his duty, how to overcome.
Army, you want to get that down? I know. Well, I guess I'm saying that is that there. I know many people who do not live in ashrams who. Well, I'm
saying I'm not advising that they are indeed in Asa.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, yes, in them. Let's see. Magdalene University.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are giving permanent order of our books. So, the university authorities, they are not coming to our Asa. But they can get the benefit by reading our books.
Right. Okay. But I know people who have not had the benefit of reading your books, and yet, as far as I know, and I've got to know them very well, they seem to be living lives which for them work. The obstacles they can cope with. And I guess what I'm saying is that, or advancing, is that perhaps...
There are many men who do not go to the university and live peacefully.
Right.
But that doesn't mean university is useless.
No.
Many men may not come to us. But that does not mean that the institution is useless.
Right.
It has its importance
mm-hmm.
for the serious men,
mm-hmm.
not for the actors.
Right, but do you think
that like this university is serious for education? They are ordering our books.
Mm-hmm.
Others may not order. They are not really. That means they are not serious.
Only the people who are in...
Yes, knowledge is for the intelligent class of men.
But there are many types of knowledge, and there are many ranges, depths of knowledge.
So, with many types of knowledge, this is also one type of knowledge.
Right.
So
it's not the only type of knowledge. That's what I'm...
No, this is... There are different... aims also. If you are interested to become an expert medical man, then the knowledge is different. If you want to become an engineer, the knowledge is different. Similarly, if one wants to overcome all the obstacles, then this is the education.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type.
What about other religions?
Other religions, you become interested in medical, you become a medical man, you become an engineer, you become other, you take that education. But one who is interested to stop all obstacles of life, this is the only religion.
This is the only one?
Yes.
Have you studied other religions?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Without studying, how can I say? I am challenging, not saying. They're challenging. They're not saying only. If you want to overcome all obstacles of life, this is only this. That's all. Or if you have different aims of life, there are different departments of knowledge. But if you want this knowledge, then this is this.
And according to you, this is the only spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
What you write about and have studied. Yes. What would you classify other works, say the Quran or the Bible or any other religions?
They are all semi to this aim of life.
They're in the same aim.
Yes.
But do you think they are successful?
They simply follow. Meditation. That's why Christ is speaking of kingdom of God. So if you follow Christ, there is hope that you go to kingdom of God. But if you don't follow, you simply rubber stamp and Christian, then Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But there are other...
They are of the same type.
Yeah. But do they have any value as far as...
Only value.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at.
Very value.
Yeah, Father mentioned the other branches of knowledge outside of religion.
Oh, yeah, right. I wasn't talking about that. Right. I wasn't talking about a technical or secular knowledge at all. I was talking about other...
Any knowledge is trying to get enlightenment about God.
Right.
That is the same thing as we have known.
Right. But those people who study, say, okay, to use an example, the Pope. Now, there's a man who's dedicated his whole life, publicly, personally, spiritually, however you define it, to Christianity, specifically the Catholic Church. Now, apparently, and for all intents and purposes, his life seems to work.
And that for him, the Catholic Church is the original Church.
The original Christian Church, yeah.
So, then why are there so many varieties?
Well, because...
hundreds and thousands of churches are there.
Right. Other people
don't like Catholic Church. They don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So they're missing the point
of the Catholic Church.
Yes.
True, I agree.
Yes, yes.
But is the point of the Catholic Church the only point that seems to be
missing? Christianity, then the Catholic process, I think I do it, huh? That is all good.
But is the point that the Catholic Church makes the only point to be made?
I mean to say, any church, original, authoritatively, that is genuine, it could be made from that. There is enough there to that school.
Granted.
It's an example that if the Catholic Church is presenting the teachings of Jesus as it is, and then later on other churches deviate a little, then to deviate from the teachings of Jesus is bad. And to stick strictly to the teachings of Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
In Christianity. That's the idea.
But the goal is similar in Christianity.
It would be similar. It would be, yeah, the goal is different.
No. Okay, the goal generally is the same.
Yes, no, because the goal is one. So if you deviate, then you go away from the goal.
Right, but the goal seems to me, as I have studied Christianity,
what is the goal?
The goal of Christianity is to make a better life here on earth for the followers of Christ and after death.
That's it. That is our Christianity.
That's your goal also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
now student is being trained up in medical college, and where he becomes practitioner, this helps him.
Okay,
there's no change.
Yeah, I think you're talking about specific.
No, it is. That Christian religion. So going to the church is practicing how to establish relationship with Christ and God. After that, if he's perfect, he goes back to home, back to God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is practice. He wanted interested in going back to home, back to God. This is the only way.
Okay. let me just say something, and then, you know, like, you can take it however you want. It seems to me that there, all through life, men, all through history, men have been more or less striving for the same general goal. The happiness here on earth.
General goal, I mean, must speak. You say the same general goal. Everyone said, this is also the general goal, this is also the general goal. You must specifically mention.
Okay, I
like that.
Okay, that goal is happiness here on earth. Secure, and however you define happiness, security, well-being, food on the table, however you want to. And
but if somebody says that I don't require to go to church for happiness, I define happiness by drinking, let me go to the Broadway and drink, that is also happiness. You cannot say.
Well, I'm thinking happiness.
I don't care to go to the church. I'm getting happiness here.
I'm thinking of it as a larger sense than that.
Happiness must be happiness.
Well,
it doesn't mean that because Radha accepts something happiness, that is happiness. No, happiness must be real happiness.
Okay, what do you think?
I eat and not like it. That is not the question. Happiness is real happiness.
Right, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
spiritual.
You simply say happiness. If you do not explain what is real happiness, then somebody will say, I am feeling happiness by thinking, yes. Why are you asking me to go to the church? You go, I don't go. That's all.
Oh, okay.
And you have to explain what is real happiness.
I would
tell you that real happiness is obtainable by going to the church or going to the Broadway liquor house.
Well, I don't think that any...
You don't think, but he thinks that he has happiness. You cannot induce him. He thinks. Just like 2 minutes ago, he said that there is no obstacle. But he thinks there is obstacle. There's different thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what is God. What is, I don't want to know what is God. I am getting happiness. Can it?
Okay, but continuing. People, I think, are basically the same in many respects as far as
all love. That is wrong.
That is wrong. Okay, why?
Why? One is getting happiness by drinking, and one is getting happiness by going to the church.
Yeah, well,
you cannot say that they are the same.
Well, I think they're the same in intent.
Now, what do you mean by that?
They're the same.
Come on, describe what is happiness. Well, drinking is happiness and going to the church is happiness. Therefore, you have to define what is happiness.
Right.
Then, we have to select whether this happiness is obtainable in the liquor shop or in the church. You must have clear idea of happiness. And if you speak generally, then he says, I'm getting happiness. Why are you insisting if you go to the church? I'm getting happiness. Therefore, you have to define what is happiness.
Okay. I would say happiness is the pursuit of, to you, what makes your life work worthwhile.
No, we are not working. We are not interested in life.
Well, when I say work, I mean what gives you an inner respect for yourself. I would say it all boils down to self-respect. An appreciation of
what is it, self-respect?
Self-respect would be an appreciation and cognizance of your spiritual and physical being.
what is my actual being?
But is man
a physical being or a spiritual being?
Both. I mean, they're one, and you know, they're one manifestation.
And after that, what happens?
Do I feel personally?
No, everyone.
I think everyone has different ideas. There are many different ideas about what happens.
That's what we have to know. What is the end?
What is?
That's what we have to know. What is the end? The idea is not good.
Okay, reality, I would say, is...
You say that you do not know. That's how you say that you do not know. What is reality?
Oh, I know what reality is.
What is that?
Reality is a series of moments or a moment perceived by the senses.
That's about the experience. The Shankara is feeling. By thinking his senses are very satisfied. That is reality.
Sure, it's his reality.
Yeah. Then why would God have sent Krishna come to touch us and accept Christianity?
Frankly, I don't know.
Huh?
I don't really know why you should be asking them.
Sure. Then there will not be that chance. Everyone can do whatever he thinks.
Yes.
Reality is not
in itself a goal.
Then what is the goal?
It just is. And what is the goal? I would say, you know, we discussed this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's trying to find what makes life worth.
You do not know.
No, I think life is a pursuit. I don't think it.
That pursuit is your no or aim or objective. The objective is become a graduate. But if you do not know, what is the ultimate goal? What is this pursuit?
Why pursue something?
Yes.
Why
not pursue? You are going to school, college. Suppose you are going to be graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not know, what is the ultimate end of pursuit? Then what is this pursuit? Simply blind?
No. It's just trying to make your life
work. That's the goal, ultimate goal. That we must know. That is called pursuit. If you do not know what is the ultimate goal of life, then there is no meaning of pursuit.
Prabhupada is talking about an absolute reality, not a relative reality.
Yes.
What is your definition of an absolute reality?
That is final.
A goal.
Yes.
Okay, and what is the
relative reality? Relative means it is understood in two ways. Absolute means there is no truth, it's final.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing that was final. So, what is the final aim of our life? That we must know.
Do you know?
Yes, we know everyone.
But what is
all our students?
What is that? What is that absolute reality? That is the absolute goal.
The absolute goal is to understand that within this body there is a living force which is spiritual, and that spiritual force is a servant of God. It has a relationship with God. Apart from how you perceive the world through your senses, beyond that, there is a soul which has a relationship with God. That is the absolute reality. You may perceive the world in so many ways through your senses, but beyond that, within your body, there is a soul which is yearning for a relationship, a loving relationship with God. If you neglect that relationship due to your senses or ignorance, then you're missing the reality of life. And you're living in an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Due to your senses, you could be living in illusion. The senses are not perfect instruments for understanding reality. There is another process for understanding reality. The senses are not perfect. Therefore, one should not depend upon the senses to understand reality. There's a greater process.
And how is that found?
Is find out this path. sukham matam cekam jasa patindi agrayam. Sukham atam cekam.
Sukamachantikam yatsar buddhi krayam achendriyam veiti yatra nashaivayam sthichat chalati sattvata.
Can you say that?
Let's combine it from other words. The stage of perfection is called trance or samadhi. When one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks that there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never taken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. That is the translation. Verse 4. By practice of yoga, one becomes gradually detached from material concepts. This is the primary characteristic of the yoga principle. And after this, one becomes situated in trance or samadhi, which means that the yogi realizes the super soul through transcendental mind and intelligence, without any of the misgivings of identifying the self with the super self. Yoga practice is more or less based on the principles of the Patanjali system. Some unauthorized commentators try to identify the individual soul with the super soul, and the monists think this to be liberation. But they do not understand the real purpose of the Patanjali system of yoga. There is an acceptance of transcendental pleasure in the Patanjali system, but the monists do not accept this transcendental pleasure out of fear of jeopardizing the theory of oneness. The duality of knowledge and knower is not accepted by the non-dualist. But in this verse, transcendental pleasure, realized through transcendental sense, is accepted. And this is corroborated by the Patanjali Muni, the famous exponent of the yoga system. The great sage declares in his yoga sutras, Purushartha Shunyanam Gunanam Pratiprachava Kaivavyam Swarupa Pratisarava Chitti Saktiyariti. This chitti shakti, or internal potency, is transcendental. Purushartha means material religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end, the attempt to become one with the Supreme. This oneness with the Supreme is called kaivalyam by the monist. But according to Patanjali, this kaivalyam is an internal or transcendental potency by which the living entity becomes aware of his constitutional position. In the words of Lord Chaitanya, this state of affairs is called cetodarpanamarjanam, or clearance of the impure mirror of the mind. This clearance
is actually liberation, or Bhava Maharasa Vadmi Nirvapanam. The theory of Nirvana, also preliminary, corresponds with this principle. In the Bhagavatam, this is called Svarupena Vyavastiti. The Bhagavad Gita also confirms this situation in this verse. After Nirvana, or material cessation, there is the manifestation of spiritual activities, or devotional service of the Lord, known as Krishna consciousness. In the words of the Bhagavatam, Svarupena Vyavastiti, this is the real life of the living entity. Maya, or illusion, is the condition of spiritual life contaminated by material infection. Liberation from this material infection does not mean destruction of the original eternal position of the living entity. Patanjali also accepts this by his words, Kaivalyam Svarupa Pratishtarava Chitti Shakti Aniti. This Chitti Shakti, or transcendental pleasure, is real life. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutras as Anandamayo Bhyasa. This natural, transcendental pleasure is the ultimate goal of yoga, and is easily achieved by execution of devotional service or bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga will be vividly described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Can I keep reading, Shri? Sure. Continue?
Mm-hmm.
Should I continue? In the yoga system, as described in this chapter, there are two kinds of samadhi, called sampragyata samadhi and asampragyata samadhi. When one becomes situated in the transcendental position by various philosophical researches, it is called sampragyata samadhi. In the asampragyata samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, for one is then transcendental to all sorts of happiness derived from the senses. When the yogi is once situated in that transcendental position, he is never shaken from it. Unless the yogi is able to reach this position, he is unsuccessful. Today's so-called yoga practice, which involves various sense pleasures, is contradictory. A yogi indulging in sex and intoxication is a mockery. Even those yogis who are attracted by the siddhis or perfections in the process of yoga are not perfectly situated. If the yogis are attracted by the byproducts of yoga, then they cannot attain the stage of perfection, as is stated in this verse. Persons therefore indulging in the make-show practice of gymnastic feats or siddhis should know that the aim of yoga is lost in that way. The best practice of yoga in this age is Krishna consciousness, which is not baffling. A Krishna conscious person is so happy in his occupation that he does not aspire after any other happiness. There are many impediments, especially in this age of hypocrisy, to practicing Hatha Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. But there is no such problem in executing Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. As long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. But a person who is in pure bhakti yoga or in Krishna consciousness does not arouse the senses while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of a van guardian, and enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is callous toward incidental occurrences, such as accident, disease, scarcity, and even the death of a most dear relative. But he is only alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. Accidents never deviate him from his duty. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Adama Paino Nitya Tam Titikshava Bharata, he endures all such incidental occurrences because he knows that they come and go and do not affect his duties. In this way, he achieves the highest perfection in yoga practice.
Did you write, you wrote the purport? Okay. When you said that the person who is involved with Krishna consciousness makes the best use of a bad bargain, were you referring to life?
Yeah.
This physical life? Okay.
The physical life is struggle for existence.
It's a struggle for existence. Why if a man who is an alcoholic, if that's the best that he can make of life, why is that bad?
That is wrong. He's wrong with it.
Pardon me?
He's going in the wrong path.
Well, if that's the best that he can do.
He can change.
He can change?
Yeah, he can change. Change is possible. But if he sees that it is successful.
But suppose drinking to him is better than what he has to put up with.
That is actual fact. Drinking, nobody can be happy by drinking. That is not possible.
Okay. You said in the purport that tragedies of life, I'm paraphrasing, tragedies of life such as death of even a close relative are mere incidental occurrences. But you said earlier that death to you was anything but a mere incidental occurrence, that it was the...
You're responsible to the death. Death, although you have to meet death, we are making promise that after death we become happy. Happy, of course, for us, and then living condition or death condition, there is happiness. That it will take time to understand. But taking superficially, death is not very pleasing. So after that, that is mentioned in the Tattva Deham Punarjan, we do not get again a material body. This is fine. Material body is the cause of pain and suffering. So if you don't get a material body, if you remain in your spiritual body, that is real danger.
But then why do you fear this death of the physical body?
No, I do not fear.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I don't either, and I'm not in Hare Krishna. No,
that is another thing. Because you do not know that you are risking your life without this circumstance. That is it. You do not, and that I want to say. That an innocent person doesn't know what is going to happen. But things are going to happen. That you do not.
Yes,
it does. So you must be aware what is going to happen after death. Then there it will become fearless, there is secure. But without knowing, if we are not afraid, there is risk.
Okay. Are you familiar with the writings of Descartes?
We don't believe anyone.
Pardon me?
We don't read anyone's book.
You don't read anyone?
Except Bhagavad.
Oh, I thought you said you studied other
philosophers. How many books we studied?
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, there was a French philosopher in the 1700s named René Descartes. And one of the things he said was that, Pascal. Anyway, same thing, practically. He said that as far as an afterlife goes, as far as proving it, it's impossible to prove it.
Right, impossible.
Okay.
Wrong.
Okay.
We can't prove anything.
Okay, but it's just a wager. It's a moot argument. The proofs are of a spiritual kind rather than a...
It requires a little breath. Others can be proved anything.
Pardon me, I didn't catch the last part.
The spirit's soul is there.
Mm-hmm.
That can be proved immediately, provided one has brain to understand.
How do you prove that a spirit is dead?
That's very easy. Just like... You are young man.
Yeah. Oh, the spirit is there.
Oh. I misunderstood.
Not the spirit is there.
No, the spirit is there.
Okay.
I misunderstood.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just like when you have a very, when you were first born, you have a very small body.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are older. So where is that small body? It is no longer existing. You have a, now you are in a young man's body. So similarly, when you are 60 years old, the body that you have now will no longer exist.
Right.
But you still exist. Even though your body is changed, your life goes on. In other words, life is not dependent on the body. The body changes.
Yeah, but you still have a body at 60.
Death is another change of body. Life will go on. The example of life going on, even though you are changing your body, you're experiencing within this one life. You've already experienced that your life goes on, even though you have changed your body so many times. So death is simply another change of your body. But you've already experienced that you can exist, yes, but even though you have quit one body and got a new body.
Now, the point is that you are going to get another body. That's a fact.
How do you
know that? This is a fact. That's how you have got already another body. Where's that child's body? Where's that boy's body? The same. This is a good proof.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still alive.
Alive? You are always alive.
Physically alive.
No, physically not. Physically, you are already alive. This point is to be understood.
Mm.
Death taking place only of the physical body. That you have to understand.
Right, but I have never been aware of any
true education.
Oh,
you are not aware because you are not educated.
Perhaps, but I've never read it. Of anyone else actually proving that there is a
spirit. Here is the same. He didn't prove. That's why I say it requires a little breath. He didn't prove.
I think it requires more than education.
The first question Prabhupada asked is, what is the difference between a dead man and a living man? The body is the same, but something is missing
right. In
the dead man, in the dead body. So that is the proof that the body is not living at any time, but there is a living energy, and when that living energy is inside the body, it makes the body seem alive. And if that living energy is taken out of the body, then the body is seen as it really is, a lump of matter. The body is never alive. It is the presence of the soul within the body that animates the body.
Right, okay. That's what animates, that's the the etymology of animation, anima, soul.
So your body agrees with all that.
I agree with all that.
And that living energy is eternal. And when this body becomes an old man's body, or rather when you get an old man's body, the body you have now will be finished. But you will still be alive because you are that eternal living energy.
Okay, and what I am saying is that there has never been any empirical proof of that.
But I've already explained that these senses are not the perfect instruments for experiencing reality. Just like sometimes there may be a cloud, and therefore you cannot see the sun with your senses. But that does not mean the sun is not there. It simply means your senses are not powerful enough to see. The senses are imperfect instruments for perceiving reality. The sun is always there, but sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't.
That's very nice. And she's right. Don't see the sun. That is a dream. There is no sun.
Okay. Don't rely on empirical sense perception.
Okay, right. You're introducing here, though, the essence of all religion, that is faith.
Faith, where is that?
I say that there is sun, and he cannot see if you deny. No, I don't see. There is no sun.
Well, there is no sun now.
There is no sun present. Sun is there. You cannot see.
Right now, the sun in my life is not present.
It is present. That is ignorance.
He's
just born immediately in Bombay. Is that sun? You say yes.
Is the sun out in Bombay?
Yes.
I have faith that it is.
No faith, it's fact.
It is a fact, not to me, though.
No.
Because you're not very intelligent. Right now, the sun is not above my head.
It's not your head. Right. You form your friend in Bombay. You say, yes, here is sun.
Right. And I have,
that does not mean you don't believe in the sun existing. That's not the plan.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you asked me whether the sun was above my head now, and I said, no, it is not. But that does not
mean that in our head, the sun is there. But you cannot see me. That is the point.
Rabbi, this claim, the existence of the sun is not dependent upon your perceiving it through your senses. The sun is always there, but sometimes you perceive it and sometimes you don't.
Don't question. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I am physically limited by
the
body.
That is the point. That is it.
But I still don't
So we have to understand through super senses, not this blind senses.
Right.
And I think
in the Western world, I don't know about the Eastern world, in the Western world, that understanding is called faith.
No. What Prabhupada is explaining is, just like now you are seeing me through your blunt senses, by the process of Krishna consciousness, you awaken a different type of senses called transcendental senses.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just as real as the blunt sense perception, except it is perfect sense perception, whereas your physical senses are conditioned, limited. There are transcendental senses.
Yes, but all the input goes into the mind, right?
And these are actual sense perceptions. The soul is sentient. Tao is proved.
Okay.
Just like your body has senses, the soul also has senses. And the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna and taking the spiritual prasadam, seeing the deity in the temple, and hearing this Vedic knowledge, that awakens the soul, and thus you can experience the sense perception of the soul, the knowledge of God through the soul, sense perception. You can see God when you're very pure. And that's a fact, not faith.
I see this heart ascending to come to the right conclusion. This is just a prasakha. Directly, you do not see the sun on the sky. But the same example, if you phone your friend, where is the sun? Then he say, yes, 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 yes. And this is called Parokha. And you get the knowledge by other sources. Your direct sources, you cannot see. But you get from other sources, is you understand, yes, son is there in this guy.
And I have faith that it is.
You must have faith.
I trust that it is.
You have to trust.
Okay, I was listening to him and I'm hearing what, okay. The brain.
No, I need to say there are five stages. Pratapha, Parakha, Aparakha, Adakhaya, and Aparakha. So our process should be to go to the Aparakha, transcendental law. This is the stages. It's why this is explained. You can directly understand. But by directly, I'm saying there is no sound. But when I ask my friend, he says there is sound. So this is also knowledge. This is called Parokha knowledge. Prana process. Similarly, there are stages. So when the perfect stage is, there is apradhika, no more material, all speaking.
Okay. The brain, the mind, interpret
the instruments.
Okay, they interpret the senses.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, if the...
Suppose if you see with your eyes, and then you see with microscope, then you see your telescope, different processes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Now, the mind you see with your spiritual eyes, that is perfect.
Okay, now suppose the brain dies. As
brain dies, the brain is a part of the body.
Right, it's part of the body, it can fail just as the heart or the lungs or anything else. Okay, now suppose the brain dies.
You get another brain.
Pardon?
You get another brain. The bone does not require working with the glass, flexible. It breaks. You get another spectacle.
In the same body?
Yes.
Okay, now, Karen Ann Quinlan, you know her?
We don't know her.
Okay, this is a, okay, let me explain very briefly. Here is a girl in New Jersey, or near New York, whose brain has died through a traffic accident. Her body is still alive. Her body is still alive, but her brain is dead. She cannot get up to speed.
The brain is already explained. The brain is an instrument.
Okay.
The instrument is not working.
Right.
Her brain is not dead.
Her soul is still alive, is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Her soul is still alive. Mm-hmm. And she is still functioning spiritually, even though her brain is dead. Is that what...
That is possible. Because her soul is dead.
The soul is always alive. But the fact that she is being maintained means the soul is still in that body. Had not left the body yet.
Okay, now
what is always living?
Okay, now what is the soul in
here? Yeah, here's another proof that instead of, in spite of, the brain is not working, the soul is there.
Okay. But just let me finish this and then we'll leave. Is her spiritual, her spirit, excuse for the sake of that word, her spirit, is her spirit in a less active state than when her brain was alive?
Spirit is always active.
It's always active at the same level?
Not some level, because you are understanding the spirit through the body. The body is changing.
Right.
That's like the soul. When he's in the boy's body, it is talking so nonsense. But you don't take it seriously. But when you're grown up, if you talk such nonsense, then you will definitely nonsense.
Okay, well,
because the body has changed.
Okay, what I was leading up to was her brain is dead. She has no.
Not dead. It is not working.
It's not working, okay. Is not working. She's getting no sensory input. She's not aware of the physical surroundings, and yet you maintain that her soul is still alive and still very active. Now, would her state, her physical state, enhance the soul's activity or detract
it? It has
nothing to do with it. Okay, would it matter to you whether they did turn off her life-supporting apparatus? Would that make any difference?
No, but with their machines that are maintaining their life. Just like a person in a car, the car engine may fail, and the person may get out of the car, or he may linger in the car. The car is just a machine. So the soul is lingering in her body.
But it's still very active.
Yes. Just like if my car breaks down, it does not mean I have broken down. I'm just a passenger.
Can she be in touch with her soul? In a coma?
No, she is so.
She is so.
She is the soul.
She, that personality, that's the soul.
No, when the conscious, when the body is broken like that, she cannot become self-realized.
He's called out of the body. She is different from this.
Mm-hmm.
This is your color by your dress. But you're different from this.
Okay.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.
You're very intelligent.
I don't know what good that does.
Very good question.
You're very merciful, Srila Prabhupada.
You're very patient.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Even they don't associate temples and that.
That boy has some intelligence. It's just, it has to be guided a little bit. That's a vision,
but the big guy like Sabuni was.